Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Today, my guest is Josh Mack. Josh lives in the same neighborhood as I do, and we got put together through just a connection on a neighborhood group, and he is also a veteran. And he's starting up a podcast, Make Veterans Great Again, kind of play on words with the Make America Great Again. But it's a podcast geared towards the mental health of veterans. And so I thought it was a great opportunity to get together with him, chat with him, see what he's up to, and you know, the type of stuff that he's into to doing with his podcast. So, Josh, let me turn it over to you. Have you introduced yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and we can go from there.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. My name's Josh Mack. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps as a combat engineer. I honestly didn't get a chance to deploy and, do all that gun-toting shit that we signed up for. So I felt like I needed to help out in a way, and I didn't know. And I'm not going to lie, I felt lost myself when I got out. And as I was telling you earlier, I got tagged into doing the 22 push-up challenge about 3 months ago, and I still haven't done it. But then the next day, I seen a buddy that posted a meme saying, pick up the phone, or stop doing your push-ups and pick up the fucking phone and call your buddies. And I was like, okay. So I came up with this idea where I'll just do a podcast, and I'll just call and reach out to different veterans, and it's not really scripted. We just talk about and see how each other's doing and that. And my mission is to reach out to fellow brothers and sisters in arms to conquer our mental health together.
Yeah, that's a great mission, a great idea that you have to, you know, just do what we all should be doing. You know, pick up the phone, talk to each other. We served together. We went through, you know, some of us went through hard times together, and you know, then you come home and you lose contact, and,
right,
and you don't pick up the phone and talk with each other very often. And it seems to be a common thing. And then when something does happen, you end up having that kind of guilt, like, oh, why didn't I pick up the phone?
You know, right, absolutely.
It's an easy thing to do. You know, it's easy to just pick it up and make a call.
But it was easier to be next to that person while we were in, because you're forced to be their family. You're forced to see them every day, whether you wanted to or not.
Right.
So then, like, when time dissipates and you guys separate, like, neither person wants to pick up the phone because they feel like, well, they're not calling me. Well, they're not calling me. Well, it doesn't fucking matter. Just pick up the phone.
Exactly.
They're going to answer, and they're going to talk to you like you guys just seen each other yesterday, but you have so much shit to catch up on.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I think social media can kind of be a crutch where you might be friends with them on Facebook or, you know, whatever you're on. And so you might see pictures of, you know, their kids and their, you know, vacations and other things that they're doing. And you're like, oh, well, I don't need to call them and check up because it seems like they're doing fine. But, you know, everyone just posts their A game on social media.
Absolutely. So I was going to say, social media is a hoax, you know. Like, nobody posts that they're struggling.
Right.
And then if they do, it's almost too late by the time you realize what they're saying. So even your happy friends, you need to check on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You know, the happy ones, again, they're probably just posting the fact that they're happy, but they may not really be 100% happy.
Right. You never know what happens behind closed doors. Like, you didn't know what was happening behind closed doors when you were living right in the room next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're even further away. So you're even a little bit more detached.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, people just want you to reach out. They wish you reached out just like they wish that you wish they would reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to have the testicular fortitude to pick up the phone and reach out first.
Yeah, absolutely. And
there's nothing wrong asking for help. Hell, you don't even have to ask for help. You can literally just, hey, man, what are you doing? Just check up on one another. Be curious about their life. Like we just said, social media is a hoax, you know? So get to really know what's going on in their life, not what they front and show everyone.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, if you call each other friends,
brothers.
Brothers, you know, whatever the word is that you want to, battle buddies, you know, whatever you want to use to describe each other,
you know, start acting like it. And right. I'm just as guilty. So I'm saying this, and you know, I haven't picked up the phone nearly as much as I probably should have. And it goes both ways. So it's good advice that I should take to heart as well, you know.
Right. I like to tell people phones work both ways, but I get it. Everyone's life's busy and it's not like, oh, I need to talk to this person. Like, yeah, you need to, but your day goes on, you forget about it later on. And hopefully you just reach out to someone before it's too late or they are able to reach out to you.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, going back to your time in the service, before we started recording, you mentioned how you were in the Marines and you hadn't deployed. And that sort of gave you the feeling of
it's almost like guilt, and I almost, you know what, I'm not gonna hold back. So it's almost like it's not like survivor's guilt, but it's like I could have done something, but I did nothing. So I feel ashamed, I didn't earn the title Marine, even though I went through boot camp, got it, earned it. I didn't do anything to keep it up. So now I'm like, man, I missed out. I didn't get to help out. I didn't get to do anything. And now's my chance with this podcast to actually reach out and help people, you know? So I may not have been able to help while I was in, but I still have that bond with people and I can connect with them over the being in the military. So now's my chance to be able to reach out to help and do my thing.
Yeah. And, you know, before we started recording, I mentioned to my, or to you about some of my, my friends, people that I know in my past that were in a similar situation. Some of them were in the 90s and, they got out, you know, before the, 9/11 time period. And they felt like, you know, look at what all these other people are doing, and they're doing so much. And I feel like in comparison, I've done nothing with my military career. And I always try to tell those people that they did exactly what was asked of them. You know, they volunteered. You know, it's not like you had a gun to your head and said you go and join the military. You joined, you volunteered, and you did what was asked of you. And if that didn't include a deployment, a combat deployment, or, you know, whatever, then so be it. But you did what was asked of you. And I think that that's still an honorable thing to do, you know?
Right. I guess I just try to hold myself to a higher standard in a sense. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily just because you deploy and see combat, you're at a higher standard. But I'm not sure how to properly word this, but like I just wanted to do more and I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost ashamed to say like, oh yeah, I'm a Marine. First of all, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Marine.
Right.
But like those questions that they're going to hit me with, they always ask you like, did you deploy? Mm-hmm. And then the next question, did you kill someone?
Right.
You know, I drank water all day long. Like that's it. Okay. Like, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, it's, everybody's going to kind of feel differently about that, and you know, how you feel about it and how somebody else feels about it, it's probably not going to be the same. But as far as, you know, my personal belief, even if you deployed and you sat on a base all day and you were, you know, maybe a cook or something, you never saw combat and but you were overseas, you still were just doing what was asked of you.
Right.
Even if you stayed in the United States and you never left the United States, you still were doing what was asked of you, and that's where your country needed you. So I think that that's still a good thing. You know, it's still an honorable thing.
I agree. Every role is important, but
it keeps the machine moving.
It's just in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that. You know, I've been going to therapy. I've been reading a lot more and listening to motivational and inspirational stuff. And I got to stop belittling myself, and I got to start appreciating myself and talking up. So, you know, I did join. I did sign that dotted line. I did make it through boot camp, right? So.
Right. Exactly. So, there's plenty of people who haven't gone that far, and they didn't even attempt to go to boot camp, and so, you know, you
because
the
DIs, if they would have said something to me,
they would have knocked him in the face,
right.
For sure. So what is it about, so with your podcast, let's talk about that a little bit, and you know, what is it about that, about making those connections and having those conversations that you think is beneficial? Is it kind of just leading by example and showing people this is how it's done and having these kind of conversations, or what is it about yours?
I just want to show it that it's real, it's genuine, it's all about reaching out and taking care of one another. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be a professional podcast with all this amazing equipment professionally right. done. I just want everyone to know this is real and it's not some hoax. And that all it does take is one phone call to change someone's life, whether it be for a day or for the rest of their lives. It could prevent them from killing themselves. Like a simple hello, how are you doing? They could give you an asshole response and hang up on you. But in their mind, somebody reached out to me. Someone does care. Like, I just want everyone to know they're not alone. Like, yep. It doesn't matter if you've deployed, seen combat, or you haven't deployed. At the end of the day, you're not alone. There's other people that have feelings. They feel exactly how you're feeling, and they're there for you. No, they may not come out and straight up say, hey, I'm here for you. But have you ever picked up a phone and had a conversation with somebody you haven't seen in 4+ years, but you've been through the shit together, whether it was boot camp, deployment, whatever? They still act like they're your buddy. They're right. They're still your brother or sister. Like, it's like you've seen them yesterday, but you just have 10 years of stuff to catch up on.
Exactly, yeah. And having those conversations, like you said, it does bring you back to the 10 years ago or 5 years ago, however long it's been, and you're still friends. So just because you haven't taken that initiative to pick up the phone and they haven't done that, it's not like you're all of a sudden not friends anymore. Like, you guys have been through a lot of stuff together. You're still friends. It's just life gets in the way sometimes. And
right. And honestly, there's been people that I haven't even met that I've done podcasts with. And they could be in different branches, or they can be in the same branch. And it doesn't matter that I don't know you. We still have this same common bond, the same interest, went through the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we don't know each other, it just goes to show you're not fucking alone. And the connection that you make with a fellow veteran, just because you find out you're each veterans, and we can be the sarcastic assholes or the fucking dark joke humor motherfuckers, right. And not have them thinking like, holy fuck, he belongs in the psych ward. You know, he's probably right, but I'm joking at this point, you know? Right. So it's just reaching out to one another, and that brotherhood, that family, it's still out there.
It is. And I think that's a issue that a lot of veterans have. There's actually another Facebook group, that I asked a question in a couple months ago. And I wanted to see what was the biggest problem that people have after getting out of the military. And dealing with fucking civilians was, like, the top of it, the top of the list. And from what I gathered from people's responses, it's that they've lost that identity. They've lost their sense of connection to the military.
Sense of belonging, their pride.
Exactly, yeah. And so people, like you and I, physically met, we just met today.
Right.
And we're sitting here having a conversation. We're both veterans. We have that in common with each other. And so we're able to we pick up a conversation and just start talking about veteran issues, and I'm sure if we keep digging and peeling back the onion, we can find even more things that we had in common with each other. And we can just keep on going and figuring stuff out, just like the same way that you do with the people who are in your unit. When you were in the military, there were people who when you first arrived at your unit, you had no clue who they were, but you eventually figured it out, And so
absolutely
get in touch with people, we're in the same neighborhood. We live less than a mile away, probably.
Right, and pretty close.
And prior to today, I didn't even know you existed.
Exactly.
And vice versa. So,
and honestly, the only reason that we found out about each other is because we both opened up and reached out, in a sense. I originally posted in the neighborhood Facebook page, and I was like, hey, I've started this podcast if anybody wants to be on it. Like, just talking about it and sharing that information. And I took the first step, and then you took the next step. And I believe your wife sent it to you because she saw it first.
Yeah, she saw it and sent it to me and said, hey, there's this guy in the neighborhood. He's doing this podcast. He's a veteran. Reach out or whatever. And so I did, and... But I could have just sat on it and been like, no, that guy doesn't want to talk to me or whatever. But it's right. Like, you totally were looking for people like me.
Yeah, people to talk to. I didn't necessarily expect you to have your own podcast, but that didn't deter me at all. Like, someone asked me, like, does that bother you that they have a rival podcast, in a sense? And I was like, I've never thought about it. And yeah, it didn't deter me, but the thought like, oh fuck, I'm not the only one doing that, instead of it bringing me down, I'm like, that's awesome. Like, it just shows the need for this. Mm-hmm. It shows the need to just talk and reach out. Veterans need veterans, you know, because we understand way better than civilians understand you. And I have a buddy who, he's like, man, I really like your podcast. I like how people are opening up. I'll never do that because I won't open up because it'll make me think about it.
Right.
He's like, but it helps me. Like, I still get to hear other people opening up. That's awesome. Like, you're helping people. And at the end of the day, as long as I help one person, that's all that matters.
Right. And you can, when you can relate to other people's stories and you can hear what they went through and you're like, yeah, I kind of went through the same thing, you know, maybe not identical, but, you know, similar situation, it makes you feel like you're not alone.
We have the same same story, different paths, yeah, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in knowing that you're not alone, it gives you a little bit of hope that, like, this person seems like they're doing all right. And,
right,
you know, maybe I feel like my life's in shambles, but they went through this and they're doing okay. So maybe I can stick it out a little bit longer and see where I end up.
Absolutely. It brings that shimmer of light through the darkness. And that's all it takes, is one little piece of light for you to keep going towards it.
Exactly.
And I've recently heard in the videos, the motivational podcasts and videos and that I've been listening to, one of them was a general and he went through SEAL training and he was talking about like the 5 or 7 things that he learned throughout it. And the one that stuck to me and that I've been like preaching, I guess, is to make your bed every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason behind it, like, I never took the time to understand the whole reason behind making your bed, other than they just want to fuck with you. And it's another thing, and attention to detail.
Right.
But in reality, it's to inspire, motivate, and push you into completing more tasks. Because if you wake up and make your bed, you've already completed a task for the day, and it pushes you and drives you to want to complete more tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the off chance you had a bad day, you come home to a bed made that gives you hope for a better tomorrow.
Right. Like, worst case scenario, you've accomplished nothing else other than making that bed. And you can go to bed at night knowing that you have a nice, freshly made bed. And,
right,
it's a comforting thing to come to, as opposed to coming back to chaos with pillows and sheets all over the place.
Right, you know? Absolutely. I fucking hate waking up to make my bed in the morning. And I think it's a waste of time. I thought it was a waste of time. It was just me being lazy, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because if I come home and I didn't make my bed, like, I just feel like that anxiousness and that, like, unrest is still there. But if you come home, your bed's made, everything looks nice and clean, you're, mm-hmm, like, okay, like, life's not that bad.
And right.
It's a simple bed that can make your day or break your day too, you know?
Right. It takes just a real short amount of time to pull up the sheets and fluff the pillows and
like
do all
5 minutes, not even getting counted down, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's super simple and it's a quick win, you know? And then you can set goals for other little things that you can do throughout the day. If you're really struggling, you can find those little things to do that are low effort, but still are wins.
Right. You don't think making your bed means anything, but it means way more than you'll ever think.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling, take it back to your boot camp basic thing days. Like, how do you survive? I was told to focus on my next child. Just make it to your next child.
Yep.
So make it to your next child. Make it to your next lunch. Make it to your next whatever the case may be. Take small steps. You don't need to make leaps and bounds.
Right.
Just as long, even if you're fucking crawling, as long as you move forward an inch, you're still moving forward. You're making progress, no matter how little it seems.
Exactly. Yeah, and you mentioned that about, you know, boot camp with, you know, make it to the next chow. That's exactly how I got through boot camp. Every single day was, okay, I'm going to wake up, you know, whatever, PT in the morning, and then, you know, breakfast, cool. And then how many more hours until lunch? And
right.
That was just the way I thought it. It was like, okay, well, it's, you know, 4 or 5 hours, whatever it is, till lunch. That's not too bad. I can get through that. And then it's, you know, 5 hours till dinner. Cool. I can do that. That's not too bad. And then, all right, how many hours until lights out? And then, all right, it's not too bad. I can do these little sprints as opposed to looking at the whole marathon.
Right. Just like boot camp, life is mental. It is way more mental than it is physical. And most of the things you're running from and hating yourself from, it's inside your own brain. It's mm-hmm. inside you.
Yeah.
Like, you are your own worst demon, your worst evil. So as soon as you, it's so hard. It is hard, I'm not going to lie. But when you start to realize that it's you, and you get out of that victim mindset, that victim mentality, you'll be able to grow and you'll see the sun. And the sky's been bluer lately than it has ever been in a long time, you know? Right. But you just gotta constantly retrain your brain. Your brain is a muscle. So the more you work on it, the stronger you're going to get as a person. And the brain is probably the hardest muscle to work out, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you wake up, your brain's on, and even though you're not. So it wants to start triggering and firing on all these old past memories, and it just replaces or becomes muscle memory. And you start thinking of all the negatives and all the bads and the poor me and the this and the that. You're right, poor you. But you're the only one that fucking cares. Now pick yourself up off the ground and keep going. Yeah. I forget who said it, but they said if you're going to fall, fall on your back. Because if you can see up, you can get up. So get up and keep moving forward.
And keep moving forward, absolutely. That's a great way to think about it. When you are struggling with something, and like you were saying, when you wake up in the morning and you're struggling, you're dwelling on the past or whatever, and you keep doing that every single morning, that just becomes part of your morning routine. That, you know, just like brushing your teeth or taking a shower or whatever, and it becomes a routine, a habit, if you will. And it's harder to break things when they become habitual, when they're over and over and over again.
And you don't even realize it either. So that's like the worst part. Like what you think about every day is what your life is, because that's all you're thinking about. So you're only thinking that and projecting that outwards, and that's all that's going to happen. So like if you're like, oh, I'm always losing, I'm always this. Well, stop saying you're always losing, you're always this. Like that's what I'm working on. I'm working on speaking high about myself.
Right.
Talking myself up and not bragging or boasting, even though that's what I feel like, so I'm combating that. But just like, oh, I did have a great day, you know? Even if I woke up and I just was able to breathe today, I had a fucking great day.
Right.
And I just got to try to stay positive.
Yeah, and being grateful for even the little things, like waking up and taking a breath and, you know, getting out of bed and doing the little things, it can really change your attitude and your mindset about things. You know, it's something I struggle with myself is, you know, I don't feel like I am grateful enough for the little things.
Right.
You know, I might take some of those for granted and not really realize how good I have it. You know,
I'm, I agree. I understand.
You know, I got a happy family. My, you know, we're all healthy. We're all, you know, like there's a lot to be grateful for, and you know, why be down on myself for any of that kind of stuff? You
because
know?
For me personally, I tend to focus on what I don't have instead of what I do have. And I don't do that on purpose to bring me down.
Mm-hmm.
I do it to push me. But then it gets to the point that I think about what I don't have too much and it brings me down. So I need to learn to stop focusing on what I don't have, focus on what I do have and what I'm going to have.
Right.
Not what I don't have, but what I'm going to have. It's as simple as changing your vocabulary, I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's hard too, because you grew up speaking the same way.
Right.
You know, you want to be the true to yourself, but you have to be able to mature and correct your vocabulary.
Right.
To push yourself into the greatness that you really are.
Yeah, it's one thing to have ambitions and have goals to push yourself towards, and it's another thing to beat yourself up over not being there yet. You
right.
know, because you got to give yourself some time. You
that's
know?
Where I'm at. Like, I want to jump to the third ring, and I can't even reach the second.
Right.
So I always try to skip the first, and that's a huge issue. Like, I need to take the first step because I'm moving, as opposed to just reaching, hoping and praying. I ain't going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start on I can't skip a ring, basically. You got to start from the lowest and work your way all the way up, no matter how repetitive, how slow it's going. Just keep taking step day by day.
Yeah, for sure. It's like in the military, they do the crawl, walk, run.
Right.
You know, you got to take the baby steps and get yourself there. And then eventually, like, you can't be mad at yourself if you haven't crawled yet that you can't run, because
right.
you haven't crawled yet. And of course you're not going to run. So you have to give yourself a little bit of grace and know that it's going to take you some time.
Even if you think you're better than crawling,
right?
You still have to start off at crawling before, like you said, you can run. There's this book I'm reading right now. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a phrase in it that says the object in the way becomes the way. What is your take on that?
Object that becomes the way is
the object in the way,
or is the way, becomes the way. Okay. Well, you know, when I'm just trying to visualize that phrase, and I'm thinking of like a brick wall in the middle of a street or something. I'm trying to drive through that, and if I can't see any other way around it, like that's going to be the thing I'm focused on is that brick wall, you know?
Right.
That's kind of my visualization of that phrase.
So I think we're on the same page. My take on that is that, like, if you're, say, life is going great or life's going bad, something plops in the road and now you're at a fork, but if you choose to take that object on, it's going, and you let it take you over, it's, your life's going to go downhill instead of uphill, you know? So, like, the object in the way becomes the way. So if your object in the way is, like, I can't get a job, we'll say, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Sure.
But you can't get a job, you're going to be thinking to yourself, I can't get a job, I can't get a job. So instead of applying yourself and looking for other avenues and other options, instead of conquering that object becomes your way, and all you're stuck in is, like, I can't get a job, I can't do anything, I can't. Right. But you can. You just didn't face that object.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that does make sense. I like how you phrase that, because you can tell yourself, you can lie to yourself and tell yourself all these things, and you'll end up believing yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to play victim, and you don't even realize you're playing victim. I guarantee you, you can look at someone and you're like, that motherfucker is the victim mindset all day.
Yeah.
And you're like, I never play victim. But if you start saying, I can't do this, I can't do that, you're the fucking victim. You just played yourself. You are the victim.
Right.
So get out of that mindset. You can do it. You just aren't pushing yourself, not willing to do what needs to get done. You're not willing to take the small steps.
Absolutely. Yeah. And pushing yourself, I think, is a big part of it. Getting yourself the motivation to do something, even when you think it's a lost cause. You know, I can't get this job, or I can't, succeed in whatever, my business is failing, I'm a failure, I'm a, you know, this, or whatever the negative self-image talk that you have going on for yourself. If you can just push yourself to try that one extra percent, you know, every day, try to do that one extra percent, and push yourself a little bit harder to do a little bit better, that's where you're going to end up getting some momentum.
Right. And it's okay to fail. Failing is needed to push you forward. However, you have to use that failure to push you and not let it break you. Because without failure, you wouldn't know what success is. You wouldn't know how to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, no, I got you there. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because the failure should act more like a sail. Like, if you think about a boat, it should act more like a sail to push you, to keep pushing you forward towards something,
right,
as opposed to an anchor, dragging you down and slowing you down. You know, when you think about little kids, when they're like learning how to ride a bike, like, they fall, and that can be considered as a failure.
Right.
But if they were to just be like, well, the hell with this, I quit. They're probably not going to say those words, but
in their kids' language, they will.
Yeah. Right? In their little kid language, they would say something like that. And they're like, I quit. I'm never going to ride a bike because I can't ride a bike. Well, like, life would not be all that fun for little kids, right? They just quit, and
the object in the way became the way.
Became the way, exactly. Or, you know, tying their shoes or whatever the difficult thing is for them to do. If they just failed and quit, then they would never achieve anything, and
right,
they wouldn't have the kind of fun that they should have as kids. You know?
Think about all the great athletes. Mm-hmm. How many times did they miss the game-winning shot? Did they strike out? Did they fail? But they're still the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they don't see failure as failure. They see failure as motivation.
Right.
To get up, to fight, to work harder.
Yeah, it's like I was talking to my son the other day about baseball. And, you know, he plays baseball and stuff. And I was telling him about how even major league players, one of the hardest things to do in like professional sports is to hit a baseball, to get a hit in baseball. because even the best players in the world can only do it about 30% of the time.
Right.
It's like every 10 at-bats that they get, only three of those times are they actually getting a hit.
Right.
You know, for you know, on average or so. And that kind of blew his mind, like thinking like, if I get up to bat and I don't get a hit, then I must not be doing very good. Well, no, you're doing all right. You know, that's to be expected. You're not going to get a hit every single time.
Right. Like Babe Ruth never struck out. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think it was Wayne Gretzky. He said he missed 100% of the shots he never took.
Exactly. That's so another way to look at it.
If you don't try, you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also learned that there's no losing. You're either winning or you're learning. And don't get me wrong, I do believe people win and lose. But it's all about the life lesson in the loss.
Right.
So you're not, don't take it as a loss. Take it as a learning opportunity to get better, no matter what it is.
Yeah, there's another podcast that I listened to, the Jocko podcast, the Jocko Willink.
Motivated,
yeah. And one of his sayings is good. Like, when something goes wrong, good. Learn from it. Grow from it. Like,
right.
It's all right. It's good. Like, just let it happen. Learn the lessons and move on and grow from that, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
I have a question for you. We'll go bring this back to veterans.
Yeah, cool.
So if you see someone with stolen valor,
mm-hmm.
how do you react? What do you think?
So I know a lot of people will react with, like, they'll be pissed off, anger, you know, they'll want to beat them down, they'll want to rip the medals off their chest and embarrass them and shame them and all that kind of stuff. To me, I see the person as, like, they have something that they feel like they need to prove, and I actually kind of feel sorry for them.
Okay.
more so than anything. Like, I don't... Like, I feel sorry that they feel that insecure about themselves, that they have to pretend to be someone that they're not.
Right.
And it's like, it's okay that you didn't serve. There's lots of people who didn't serve. As a matter of fact, most of the country didn't serve. You don't have to pretend that you're someone that you're not.
Right.
Or, on the other hand, there might be people who did serve, but then they go put, you know, Bronze Stars and other stuff on their chest that they didn't earn.
Again.
And
yeah.
That kind of stuff. And it's like, why are you doing that? Like, what do you have to prove? Like I have a metal rack over here, like my shadow box, and like I earned all of that stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm not adding stuff to it that I didn't actually earn. Like, that's mine. Like, I wouldn't be very proud of that if it wasn't
right.
stuff that I actually
yeah,
earned.
Absolutely.
So I just question, like, what went wrong with these people? You know?
Like, you tried to understand their backstory a little bit.
Yeah, like did. Do they feel that they earned something and maybe their chain of command screwed them over and they didn't get what they felt like they deserved? Maybe that's their reason. Or maybe there's someone who came from a long line of military people and they couldn't join for one reason or another, medical issues or whatever, and they felt like they wanted to continue the legacy of their family or something like that. I don't know. A lot of people have their reasons for doing this stolen valor kind of stuff, and I don't really understand it, but I know that they have their reasons, and I'm not saying it's right,
right.
that I agree with, oh yeah, no, it's cool, go ahead and do it, or whatever. Like, I still think they kind of look like idiots, but they have their reasons, and I think it's kind of helpful to understand what they're going through before jumping to conclusions.
That's a great point. So first, I want to say that if you get angry, it means you lost. Like, you lost control and you lost, and that person with the stolen valor won.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, I get it, it's hard to keep your composure, especially like if you've lost your brothers that wore that uniform and they're disgracing it. I get it. But you need to stay cool, calm, and collective, because by you getting angry and upset, lashing out and all that, it's just, you're losing more.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna walk away angered, mad. And they're going to be maybe embarrassed, but they're going to go to the next corner and keep doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And you also brought up a good point, how you want to know, like, what's going on with them. That's a great thing before you judge anybody, Like, before looking at me, you're probably like, this motherfucker, you know? But before you can judge me, you need to know my backstory, just
right.
like I need to know yours.
Right.
So just because someone's doing something completely wrong to you, you don't know why their brain has justified them doing that in this moment. You don't know the trauma, the
right.
drama, the stress, or what they've been through. So be less judgmental and more compassionate.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, too. And there's some people, too. I've seen people who have bought old uniform, Army uniforms or whatever at Salvation Army kind of stores or, you know, Goodwill or whatever that people have just discarded or whatever. And they just wear them because they think they look cool. And,
right.
Like, that might, it might be just as simple as that. Like, they just think it looks cool. And so, all right, like, you kind of look like an idiot, but whatever, like, you think it looks cool. Like, that's the reason. It could just be that simple. Or it could be that they feel like they need to prove something. I don't know. So, anyways, before we kind of wrap this up, I wanted to give you a chance to plug your podcast, let people know where they can find it, and, you know, let people know a little bit more about what it's all about.
Right. All right. So my podcast link is mvga.buzzsprout.com, or I'll give you my Instagram so you can
yep.
tag it on there.
Yeah. I'm going to put all the links in the show notes too. So anyone who wants to check it out can find it all on there. All
right. And I'm not sure if I said this in the beginning or not, but my whole mission is to reach out to fellow brothers and sisters in arms to conquer our mental health together. And I just want to remind everyone, you're not out there. You're alone. You're not in this alone. Just reach out. People are out here for you.
Yeah.
And yeah. So thank you very much for having me on this. It was a great experience.
I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad we got connected, and you know, looking forward to catching up with you around the neighborhood.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Now that we're neighbors.
Now that we know that each other exists. So right. You know, we may do this again, and just keep in touch and keep pushing for the same good mission, you know,
sounds
helping
good.
Veterans
let's keep
out
together.
Exactly.
Instead of like being rival podcasts, let's work together.
Exactly.
We can help more is unity than we are divided. We're stronger
together
than we are divided.
Exactly.
There we go.
Yeah, there it is. You know, so my whole thing with that, to that point, is my goal is to help out veterans one
Absolutely.
Way or another. I don't. If you're succeeding, then that means I'm succeeding, because if your goal is to help out veterans too. So if you're succeeding, then I'm succeeding, because ultimately veterans are being helped, and I don't really care who gets the credit. I don't care if I get, you know, 5 downloads on a podcast episode
right.
or I get 5,000 downloads on a podcast episode. I really don't care, as long as somebody is being helped. And,
right.
and if it's that one person being helped, and that one person who finds a little bit of hope through sharing this kind of message, then I'm all for it. So,
same here, man.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.